This morning's reading is Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. I'm reading from the ESV Bible. Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 13. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, hello. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would encourage us this morning from your word and help us to see the love and power of Jesus at work in our lives. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, do have your Bibles open at Matthew chapter 14 and verses 13 to 21. What do you think about miracles in the Bible? There are people who say that they are Christians, but they don't think any of the miracles in the Bible ever happened. Now, I think it's more honest to say that you don't believe the Bible because you don't believe the miracles. Maybe that's you today. The empiricist philosopher David Hume defined a miracle as a violation of the laws of nature. I went on to say that this was simply unacceptable from our experience of the world. This definition has been widely accepted. But that means that you believe that there is nothing outside of your own experience, which is quite depressing, really, isn't it? Here's a definition that I like. A miracle is a supernatural event accomplished by the immediate power of God. Miracles indicate a power over and above nature, not against it. And miracles reveal God. As creation reveals God in the ordinary, miracles reveal God in the extraordinary. And Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 to 21, recounts Jesus' famous feeding miracle. I think it reveals two things. It was a miracle of Jesus' love, and a miracle of Jesus' power. Well, first, a miracle of Jesus' love. Jesus had decided he wanted some peace and quiet, some time out away from the crowds. So he jumped into a boat, pushed out from the shore, and headed for the other side. The crowds couldn't follow him into the water. But we have this comical picture of them tracking round the edge of the lake. And when Jesus got to the other side, soon enough, there they were, waiting for him. Well, if you were Jesus, I think if I was Jesus, I might feel a bit exasperated at this point. You know, it's like going on a holiday to a peaceful, idyllic, quiet Greek island away from it all and finding out that your noisy neighbours or your annoying relatives have turned up at exactly the same place. What a nightmare. But Jesus has a different attitude. Verse 14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. He has compassion on the crowd. He is motivated by love for them. So he heals the sick. Notice this is just a passing observation in the story, healing the sick. It's small beer compared to the main event. And then the fact remains that they're in a very remote place. Evening comes and the disciples Jesus' closest associates are concerned about how people are going to eat. They urge Jesus, send the people away. Jesus has other ideas, verse 16. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Well, this is ridiculous, since they've looked around and they only have 5 loaves and 2 fish between them. What follows is the miracle. It's to feed probably about 12,000 people with the small amount of food. There are 5,000 men with their families. Jesus does the miracle to keep them gathered together, to keep them with him. And why does he want them with him? He has compassion for them. He loves them. This is a miracle motivated by love. Jesus does this amazing thing because he loves this crowd of people. Tom Holland, the historian, not the actor who played Spider-Man, published a book last year called Dominion. You may have read it, you may have heard about it. And he shows how Christianity has influenced the modern Western world massively, even now. And he says that when we show love to people that we've never met before, for example, by sending aid or by demonstrating against injustice, he observes that this is a distinctly Christian inheritance. Now, people might not know or believe the Bible or believe in God, but this kind of love is the love that Jesus showed and is being passed on through generations by Christians. Let's keep that up. Jesus' motive for feeding this crowd of people was love. In fact, that is more than just the motive for his miracle here. It is the reason he was in the world. It's the reason he died on a cross. He came to show love beyond what we can imagine. He came to show God's love. Human beings ignore God. We pretend he isn't there, live for ourselves. That's what sin is, rejection of God. And God, our loving creator, is rightly angry with us for rejecting him. Yet Jesus loved us so much that he took our place and took God's judgment on himself. Only he could. Only he was sinless. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If we are redeemed in God's eyes, then we can spend eternity enjoying his glory when we die. That's the bottom line. Jesus gets us to God by a miracle of love. The second, it's a miracle of Jesus' power. Let's get back to the story and just take in some more of the details. The disciples come up with the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. You can imagine in the expression on their faces, their mouths are stretched around their teeth, their eyes darting from one to the other. This is a little awkward. Jesus was very relaxed. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. That's what the head of the house does before dinner. He directs everyone to sit down and say his grace. They're going to have a meal together like a family. And the rest of verse 19 is quite understated. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Somewhere along the line, a few became thousands. Now, some people try and say that Jesus merely set an example that everyone else followed. But the emphasis is on Jesus and his power. Why else would there be such a focus on the results? They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So Matthew, in recording this, has been ruthlessly concise up to this point. But then he goes into the detail here. He reveals the sheer magnitude, the magnitude of this miracle. And he wants to put the spotlight on the power of Jesus. He doesn't want us to miss that. We can't fail to observe a supernatural power at work here. This is a miracle. And this shows us the power of God to provide and to save. The crowd came to Jesus and he showed them who he was. This really was the promised one. Jesus really is the Son of God. And there are echoes of God's hand in Israel's history. You know, here they are in the desert and here's some bread miraculously provided. Does that ring any bells? Remember manna from heaven? And also there's a picture of God's eternal blessing in the kingdom of heaven in a great banquet. But the direct intervention of God is most pronounced in the sheer volume of food. Who is this? Who could do something like this? That's the question it raises. And that is the question it's intended to raise. But that is the question it's also intended to answer. There is no other option. It has to be God at work here. Wild boar are back in the British Isles after hundreds of years in Devon and Sussex and Gloucestershire and Hampshire. Apparently they escaped from captivity and started breeding. And once again, they are a much loved lethal menace. Wild boar aren't often seen, but their presence is unmistakable. The ground is all dug up and the trees are all scraped and there are tusk marks on the trunks. They leave a very distinctive, characteristic trail of destruction. It's unmistakable, the evidence. And Jesus' miracle is like that. It's unmistakable. Unmistakably the work of God. John 1 verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. The Son of God has really come. His miracle speaks in a language we can't ignore. We are confronted by the reality of who he is and why he came. He is the Son of God who loves us. He came to offer more than a miraculous meal. He came to offer life forever with him. An eternal banquet. He was not just willing, he was also able. He came not only with love, but with power. He came because we are in need. Not that we are hungry and stranded and look to him. Well, more like we are doomed to die. We have no answer for death. We have ignored the author of life rather than sought him out. He came with an answer to that, with an answer to death, to a people who deserve death. Miracles have not ceased. Jesus is no longer a man walking in the earth using this kind of miracle. That period has passed. But life in him is ours forever if we believe in him. That is a miracle. Do you believe this today? If you believe it, that is a miracle. Have you believed this for a long time and you still believe it? That is a miracle. Do you long for others to believe? Is that in your heart? Well, that's a miracle. Have you shared your faith with someone else and they believed? You have witnessed a wonderful miracle. Is Jesus calling you today? That's a miracle. Has he got your attention? Do you want to get to know him more? That is a miracle of Jesus' love and power. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for the miracle of Jesus' love and power. I pray that there are people here who will accept that miracle for the first time. And Lord, sustain us by your miraculous love and grace who believe in you, and help us to testify of your love and power in the way that we live. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.